American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Let's get ready to kick off the second hour of the show. All right, Nick Sorter might be waking up soon to join the program. He did promise me he was going to join us because he had a busy day, busy night. This guy doesn't sleep. He's out there. He's hitting the streets of Minnesota. He's probably, I guess, next to Nick Shirley, he's probably Tim Walz's least favorite person to hear from. He just did something incredible. He actually just walked over to one of the hotels that allegedly rejected DHS employees from being able to sleep there and stay there. You know, Nick just went over there and asked the hotel after the Hilton put out a statement saying, oh, it's franchise owned and that's up to them. Well, apparently Nick caught him on camera, the front desk person telling him, no, I mean, as far as I know, we're not supposed to be letting them in here. So the Hilton responded after seeing that video earlier this morning by saying, all right, we're done with this hotel. We're taking it out of our system at this point. So with that happening, Nick Sorter is going to wake up for us, hopefully, to do that interview. But I joke when I say he's going to wake up for us because folks, I feel bad asking Nick to jump on, but I also want to hear from Nick because Nick's on the ground. He's doing a lot of work. He's a busy guy. You know, in between a lot of his hits, he hosts a show on Sunday here on InfoWars, and he's doing an incredible job at just going on the ground and asking simple questions that nobody wants to seem to answer over in Minnesota. So we'll have him on the show today. We'll also have an exclusive. Christine Crowder will be joining the show. She's going to be in studio in a little bit. The reason why it's exciting to have her on the show is because I got my hands before anyone else on a couple of documents, and we got pages and pages of documents, and it outlined something that even after I sued TSA, I was unable to get, and it's infuriating. It's how Americans ended up on terror watch lists over at TSA. You'll never believe it, but this woman who didn't even go into the Capitol, nowhere near the Capitol, she just went to see President Trump speak on January 6th. Well, they threw her on a terror watch list, and the FBI, and you'll never believe, but the FBI actually poorly vetted it. I've got the documents that show that they're convinced that this woman, who's not Crowder, that they're convinced that this woman is the woman who entered the Capitol that day, not her. And we know it's not her because sadly, you know, she struggled after when she was 26 years old, she was unable to lift her left arm after giving birth. And this has been going on for decades. So this image alone proves that she's innocent because this person's waving, lifting up their left arm, something that she's unable to do. Well, the worst part about it is a DOJ official actually went out there and moved her case into the misdemeanor assignment queue. What does that mean? Well, that means that she's going to be charged potentially, arrested potentially. And so it's really important for us to highlight that this individual, Kenneth Quarter, according to his LinkedIn page, he is still working for the DOJ. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. So Crowder will be joining us in studio to discuss that. She's making her way over to the studio. And it's interesting because Rand Paul's office, the senator, obviously, he just released all of this moments ago. And again, we got our hands on it first. And it's interesting because when you compare the photos of what Christine was wearing that day compared to the individual that they accuse of being in the Capitol, it's pretty obvious it's not her. If you did some simple research. Oh, by the way, who turned her in? Oh, a friend, a former friend, I should say. Former friend said she saw her in footage walking in the Capitol, called the FBI, and the FBI jumped on it. Didn't really have any actual evidence of that, but they still surveilled her home anyway. I believe they did about four times. They physically surveilled her home. That's according to the documents we've just received. If you want to see those documents for yourself, head on over to theindependentnewsroom.com. It is downloadable. You could look at these documents yourself to understand how innocent Americans ended up on terror watch lists and how the FBI and DOJ never pulled them off of these watch lists and continued to investigate them, even though none of the evidence added up, of course. All right, buckle up, guys. We got a whole show packed in for you in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because Methylene Blue Tallow has just launched and is available over at the shop. Of course, it is 100% grass-fed tallow, and it is another incredible product that we just launched over at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity.
The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. All right. Got a response from FBI Director Kash Patel that I'm plugging in right now and trying to bring straight to you guys as we continue to dive into this. But the FBI Director commenting on that story I told you about in the opening of the show, obviously this is being an exclusive that we brought to you first. And just some background in case you're just joining us now. Senator Rand Paul's office got his hands on documents regarding one individual who was at President Trump's January 6th rally, legal rally, went there, watched Trump speak, then left. She was wrongfully accused by a former friend of going into the Capitol that day, saying that they saw footage of her and she was there. So the FBI flagged it and continued to run it down for over a year, this investigation, even sending agents outside of her home. Now, interesting enough, the FBI director coming out now and saying, this case is an example of misplaced priorities and everything that was wrong with the federal law enforcement in the after of January 6th. So the FBI director also commenting on that. We also got comment earlier this morning. I got it from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's office exclusively. We put that up on Twitter as well. So Crowder's making her way to the studio right now. She'll join us in-house to discuss. And again, we can't just sit here and say, oh, this is where everything went wrong and pretend like things have changed. According to one source, I'm told the FBI agents who were assigned to, and it's hard for me to vet because, again, they don't confirm personnel matters, so bear with me here, but I'm told by a reliable source that the individuals who were a part of this case still are employed by the agency. Not only this, but I've been able to also confirm that the DOJ prosecutor who actually moved her case into the misdemeanor folder where they were going to prosecute her for a misdemeanor, well, this individual is also still working for the DOJ as well. He was one of the top individuals over at the, I think they call it the Capitol siege section over at the DOJ. So I'm very thankful that they are acknowledging these failures. That's incredible. Well, let's fire everyone who is a part of this. Let's just, or put them on unpaid suspension. That way they have to resign and you don't have to go through a process of a lawsuit. If you didn't have the cojones to go out there and expose this stuff, well, I lack empathy. So we're going to continue to dive into this, but this is really, really important that we continue to talk about this, especially because it's been 5 years, you know, 5 years since January 6th. And if you're wondering if there are any arrests that have been made, no. Although we're told that they just caught the pipe bomber, but spare me. I'm not buying it right now. I'd like to see a little bit more evidence before we jump on board with that. But obviously, we'll dive into that throughout the show. All right, a lot happening, though. A lot of good things happening in the MAHA movement. We'll cover that this hour. We'll also cover a little bit more in regards to Venezuela because, folks, Venezuela is happening right now. I mean, everyone's talking about Venezuela, but specifically on CNN because they're always trying to find a flaw in everything. And still, I told you guys last hour, I haven't really developed a strong opinion about this. I'm holding back. I'll tell you that our military did an incredible job, given the fact that none of them, thank God, lost their lives to all of this. They were up on the air, down the ground, 88 minutes, out of there. That's freaking impressive. But most importantly, I gotta say, it's giving the media a tough time because they don't know what they're going to be saying. They don't know how they criticize President Trump on this one. Because it's something that the Biden regime wanted to do but was incapable of doing, or they at least claimed, right? They put out a $25 million bounty on this guy's head, but never actually did anything about it. Well, got a little fire yesterday on CNN, only because Stephen Miller was someone who they didn't really want on too much. In fact, according to his team, he had reached out several times to go on CNN, but they just didn't want him. Well, Jake Tapper felt a little risque and had Stephen Miller on the program last night. And it's a little bit of a longer clip than I normally would play, but it's about 4 minutes of the back and forth between Tapper and Miller. And it's quite the enlightening discussion. Take a listen to clip five.
Apparently, over the future of Greenland.
One last question, Stephen.
Doesn't make any sense.
One last question. The president was very quick to say that the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, opposition leader Machado in Venezuela, doesn't have the support in Venezuela to become the next president or the interim leader. And I wonder where he got that from, given that her cutout, Gonzalez, won the election last year, overwhelmingly, 70% of the vote or something like that. Why does the president think that Machado should not be the next leader? Why does he think she's weak?
First of all Venezuela experts agree, that it would be absurd and preposterous for us to suddenly fly her into the country and to put her in charge, and the military would follow her and the security forces would follow her. It's not even a serious question.
So should there be an election?
If you give me the floor for 30 seconds, let me tell you what we are doing here, Jake. The United States, this is sort of foundational. The United States is using its military to secure our interests unapologetically in our hemisphere. We're a superpower, and under President Trump, we are going to conduct ourselves as a superpower. It is absurd that we would allow a nation in our own backyard to become the supplier of resources to our adversaries, but not to us, to hoard weapons from our adversaries, to be able to be positioned as an asset against the United States rather than on behalf of the United States.
Sovereign countries shouldn't be able to do what they want to do.
The Monroe Doctrine and the Trump Doctrine is all about securing the national interests of America. For years, we sent our soldiers to die in deserts in the Middle East to try to build them parliaments, to try to build them democracies, to try to give them more oil, to try to give them more resources. The future of the free world, Jake, depends on America being able to assert ourselves and our interests without apology. This whole period that happened after World War II, where the West began apologizing and groveling and begging what I'm talking about, Jake, is the idea. And you, by the way, you do. I know you love doing that smarmy thing, Jake, and I was hoping you'd be better than that this time.
I asked you if there would be an election in Venezuela. That's what I asked. Why was the president so quick to dismiss Machado? You answered that question.
The objective, Jake, is security and stability for the people of Venezuela. With our help and leadership, that country will become more prosperous than it has ever been in its whole history.
But the woman running Venezuela right now is part of the Maduro regime.
There will be conversations, Jake, about all of these guideposts along the way. The reason why I was giving you that speech, which I know you didn't want to hear, is because you're approaching this from the wrong frame. This neoliberal frame that the United States' job is to go around the world and demanding immediate elections be held everywhere, immediately, all the time, right away, to create these vacuums.
That's not what I think, but you invaded the country. We went into the country and we seized the leader of Venezuela.
Damn straight we did.
And I'm saying,
we're not going to let Tim Pot communist dictators send rapists into our country, send drugs into our country, send weapons into our country.
Okay.
And we're not going to let a country fall into the hands of our adversaries. The future of Venezuela, working with America, is going to be so bright and so incredible and so positive. And we'll have a conversation about everything that you raised. But the priority right now, as the president has made clear, is a judicious, thoughtful, careful transition.
All right,
process.
I'm going to step in on this one because I think Jake Tapper has a fair point. I think it's fair to ask Stephen Miller what's going on here. Because again, it's still the Maduro regime when the VP who's stepping into the position is someone who is obviously working very close with Maduro. So again, this is something that is very concerning, and I think it's a fair question. I do think it's a fair question that's worthy of being asked. Folks, I want to head on over right now to the Trump Kennedy Center because President Trump has just begun to speak. He's speaking to the House GOP members on a retreat right now. Let's head on over there to see what the president's talking about right now.
Calling 3 a.m, I said, I shouldn't use any names. I'm just going to create problems. But hi, Jim, and I'm not talking about Jim Jordan here, never had a call 3 a.m. for him. But I say, hi, Jim, how you doing? They just called to say hello, you know, 3 a.m. Okay, sir. Sir, you haven't spoken to me in 3 years, and it's now 3 a.m, so I know what you want. You want my vote? And usually, almost always, they'd give it, but they wanted to be called. And with Doug, I never had a call. He was with us right from the beginning. I love those guys. I must say, I probably love them the best, you know? The guys that I don't have to call, they know we're doing the right thing. I have a couple that are going to be with us all the way, but they just want the call. They want love. They need love. They're more insecure than a lot, most of you. It's true. No, most of you are secure people. They're all laughing. No, most of you are secure people. I had a couple say, look, I could have Trump call me all the time. I just have to break his ass a little bit. And he'll be calling, calling, calling. But I appreciate those. We actually had a little party. We opened up a beautiful section of the White House in the Rose Garden, and we had a party for all of those people that I never speak to and vote for me. And, you know, I spoke to Doug, but I didn't speak to him about, I mean, never had a problem. And I was really, saddened by his passing and was thinking about not even doing the speech in his honor. But then I decided that I have to do it in his honor. I'll do it in his honor because he would have wanted it that way. He would have wanted it that way. He would have said, do that speech. Are you kidding me? Do the speech, big guy. But he was a fantastic person. Man, that was a quick one. I don't know. I don't know quite yet what happened, but boy, it's a tough one. He was just with us. He was our friend, all of us, every one of us. And I also want to send our best wishes to Congressman Jim Baird and his wife, who are recovering from a car accident. They're going to be okay, but they had a pretty bad accident. And we're praying that they get out of that hospital very quickly. He's going to be fine. She's going to be fine, but it was a bad accident. And I want to thank the man who has been central to so many of our triumphs. He really has been. He's the guy that would call me to make those calls all the time. He's always working. And he's a nice person. You know, he's a high quality person. But I want to tell you, he's a very tough cookie. I've seen both sides. Not often do I have to see the other side because he's just, by nature, he's a very fine, religious. I like that. He's a religious person. I like that. I like religious people. It usually means they're more honest. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. I've had some real religious ones that did numbers on me, and I said, I'm going to get them someday. They got me by surprise, but it's usually good, okay, right? And his name is Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson. He has my complete and total endorsement. Stand up, Speaker. So, you know, but it is true. A lot of times they'll say, I wish Mike were tougher. He's tough. He's tougher as anybody in the room, actually. But can't be tough when you have a majority of 3. And now, sadly, a little bit less than that. I mean, a little bit less than that, maybe. But you can't be Trump. You can't, I want you. You know, you make 10 enemies, 20 enemies. That's the end of that, right? Everybody loves him. I would say there's one person he's given up on. I think he just gave up on this guy. He's so bad. He never votes for us. But no matter how good, he won't vote for us. There's a sickness there. You know, there's something wrong. You can have the greatest bill, the greatest for the country. Forget about for Republicans. Great, great, great for the country. I'm a no vote. We don't even bother calling him at 3 a.m, do we? Huh? But I want to thank another guy who's as tough as they come, because he went through something that none of us have gone through. I went through a little shot, but I get that throbbing feeling every once in a while. But what he went through was incredible. And that Steve Scalise, he got hit hard. Where's Steve? Steve. He's a tough cookie. He was dead. I went to the hospital. His wife was crying so much. She was a mess. Oh, yeah, she loves you. That's the only thing I learned about Steve, that he has a wife who loves him. Because I've gone to hospitals where guys are in bad shape and the wife couldn't care less. She's waiting. She's looking for the next guy. Who's the next guy down the pike? Who the hell is the next guy? He's died. I said, that's so bad. Oh, yeah, yeah. I had one where the dog died and the husband died at the same time. I said, it's so sad. Yes, I love this dog so much. She couldn't give it. And the guy left her a fortune. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
He shouldn't have left her anything, but she was much more concerned.
No, he's not.
Oh, the dog was devastated. The husband, he was like an afterthought. Your wife loves you, Steve. She's a great wife. Another one who has a great wife, Jackie, is Tom Emmer, right? Look at you. You have a great wife, but you haven't been tested like these guys. You haven't. We don't want to test her, right? She's incredible. She's a strong, beautiful, great person. She's a great person. She actually liked me at the beginning when we were having little fights. We weren't even having fights. We just didn't know each other. We didn't know each other. And I heard he said something negative about me. He was sort of right about the subject, but you're not supposed to say ever, even though you're right. But Jackie was saying, I'm telling you, he's a great guy. He's good. He's going to be a great president, blah, blah, blah. She was fighting for me. And now I love this guy. He's great. She was right about both of us, I think, right? But Tom has been incredible. He's incredible at what he does. And he's a great team player. Your conference chair, Lisa McLean, is so strong and powerful. And
all right, let's
beautiful.
Take a moment to step on out of this Thank one you, because it got a little weird in the room. Got a little weird. Obviously, he is talking about Thomas Massie in the first part, and I have to say, Massie is a patriot, whether you agree with him or not. The man just follows what his moral compass is, so there's that. But he started off by saying that he endorses Speaker Mike Johnson. What has Mike Johnson done to earn an endorsement? What has he done to laminate your executive orders, would be my follow-up question. What was your favorite thing that he's done thus far? Saying that, you know, Johnson's tough, but he can't be too tough because they don't really have a majority. Well, that would also be Johnson's fault. It's his job to fundraise and to get these folks elected. So there's that. There's that. We'll keep our ear to it, though. Of course, if anything happens, we will bring it straight to you because that's what we do over here. But I want to switch gears. Let's focus on some positive things. Let's not blackpill everyone. Let's talk about the good that's going on right now. All right, Maha, you just got a massive victory yesterday, and it is worth celebrating because President Trump came out and he pushed forward his new, for HHS, the new childhood vaccine schedule. President Trump saying America will no longer require 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy children. We're moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious and dangerous diseases. And also, as the parents are still obviously going to be able to choose. Their kids want all the vaccines in the world. You can have them all. But he has since updated that childhood vaccine schedule. And now it's only recommending 11. Now, if you're wondering what has been pulled off, this is just a quick overview. COVID, influenza, Hep A, Hep B, the birth dose. And others, of course, because it's a lot. It's a lot. So this is a massive, massive win. President Trump obviously celebrating because, again, this is what they do in Europe. We just keep poking American kids with jabs. And they go, well, we don't know why the number of autism is rising. But don't you dare question our vaccines. So this is a good thing. This is a very, very good thing for the Trump administration, for RFK Jr., because this was one of his main focuses, was to crunch down on just that. So that is incredible news to hear. Again, they're not anti-vax. They're anti-ridiculous vax. I'll coin that one. Why not? And it wasn't just that victory that Maha got yesterday. As many of you guys know, Thomas Massie actually called it out. The great congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky called it out because the House, their appropriation bill, brought forward something called Section 453. And in that section, it was going to provide immunity towards the companies that create these pesticides. Well, guess what? Those liability shields are no longer. Because in the revised version of the House Appropriations Bill for fiscal year 2026. That's been tossed out. So again, great news. Great news on that front. And we're excited that it's a victory that Maha gets to enjoy because this was something that was fought. But again, you got to keep your eye out for these sneaky little lobbyists who love putting these garbage things into bills, hoping that you're not paying attention. That's exactly what happened here. So great news for those who have fought long and hard for that. That is a small win, but a good one, and it's worth your attention. All right, guys, yesterday we talked about, it was interesting, the individual who had gone up to Vice President J.D. Vance's Cincinnati, Ohio home. William D. Four is the individual who has since been arrested. Now, this individual is someone who was accused of smashing several windows at the VP's house. Well, apparently he is a tranny. He identifies as a female and his father is a Democrat donor. That's according to a report. He identifies as a tranny. Like I said, his father apparently is a surgeon who has donated to Dems. Daily Mail is the one that broke that story yesterday. Probably just perp dump on all the hormones. You look at his Instagram page. He says that she is a she, her. Yeah, and I'm an elephant. No, I'd probably be a zebra if I got to pick. They're a little cooler looking. But apparently we've got to pick things. We're going to make things up. And that's exactly what happened. So, of course, this individual who's probably not in the best state of mind because they are perped up on a ton of hormones that don't belong in their body. Well, they have now been arrested for trying to, we don't know if they were trying to break in to J.D. Vance's home, what the whole goal of all of this was. But again, another individual who, another trans individual who has alleged to have committed another crime against conservatives. Go figure. Go figure. We're told that there's not a theme here. And I don't even know if our federal government's capturing all the crimes that are committed by trannies in this country right now. It's probably worth looking into, probably, some might say. I do know, though, again, if you want to bring it back to Maha, I do know that RFK Jr. is studying to see what the hormones are actually doing to individuals who are taking them. This is something that he's very passionate about, obviously, because he knows that this can't be good. But when it comes to the crime stats, I'd like to see us authentically report on these crime stats, because if they are trannies, we should know just that. Because I'm sitting back and watching violent crimes being committed by biological men who are pretending to be women, and they're trying to boost our numbers. Violent, heinous crimes, murder, sexual assault. They're trying to pretend like women do these types of crimes. Yes, of course, there are those rare occasions when women do commit these types of violent crimes, but the ultimate majority of females, they are not out there committing these heinous crimes. And then, of course, liberals put them in female prisons, which we all know what happens there, and it's horrifying. But again, liberal empathy means that they are empathetic towards the actual suspects of crimes, the actual criminals, rather than the victims. It's like suicidal empathy, except it doesn't affect them because they are the elitists. They are the elitists. We'll dive into a couple of other stories, too, in just a bit. Nick Sorter joining us. He was just on the ground in Minnesota. He's still there, I think, actually. He'll be joining the show in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Buckle up. We got more to discuss in a minute. Head on over right now, though, to thealexjonesstore.com right now. An incredible sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. 47% off site-wide for a limited time. So drop what you're doing right now and head on over for the Patriot Day sale over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. More to come. Don't go anywhere.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that haven't, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel any time, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10, if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. Just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power up and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off a TAC nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. Conquer us. You want war? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. Who want us to live in bondage? Who want to cut our children's penises off? You Satanist! I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. Ugh. My cells tell me I'm in a war, and to girt myself for it, and to guard myself for truth. Because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot more to dive into. So let's kick things off by covering some more fraud. Why not? There's an abundance of fraud going out, allegedly going on all across the country. It's very important that we highlight just that. But actually, you know what? Let's kick it off by giving you an update, because Nick Sorter's on the ground right now. And he's been doing some incredible work. He's probably Tim Walz's number one enemy right now. Oh, well, I guess it's a toss-up between Nick Shirley as well. But these Knicks can't seem to leave him alone. And they're not liking it. They're not liking it at all. But yesterday, DHS came out. And let's start there. DHS came out and said that there was a Hilton Hotel in Minnesota that was not allowing their agents to stay there. They had, in fact, had reservations. They were canceled once they learned that these were agents working for DHS. And they canceled it. Now, interesting enough, and this is the part that I thought was jaw-dropping, this morning, Nick Sorter was on the ground, and he actually went up to that hotel and tried to see if it was still ongoing, because Hilton came out with comment. I reached out to them for comment as well. They came out and said, listen, this is a franchise. We spoke with the franchise owner, the property owner of that one. We are okay with DHS agents staying on our property, and we pretty much corrected them and told them the same. And everything's all good now. The issue's been fixed. Well, Nick Sorter decided to test the waters a little bit, and he went over there, and surprise, surprise, it wasn't all good. Take a listen to clip 15.
So we're not accepting people from immigration, ICE agents, DHS into our property. It's just the part management ownership.
Okay, yeah. I thought that changed today. Was that?
I just talked to the owner of the building, uh-huh. and he didn't say there has been any changes. So
really, okay.
Yeah, okay. it's just policy. You know that.
Yeah, I mean that's not your fault. Totally, yeah. Totally get that. So they actually said that was. It's like, I mean, honestly, this is the most convenient location. So
right.
It's like, so they told you no, that there's no...
Yeah, no immigration.
Well, DHS isn't all
yeah.
immigration. Okay. Okay, so even with the thing that they said earlier, where they mentioned that there was a statement that they put out, you know, saying that they accept everybody and...
I haven't been informed. I could call my owner right now if you want.
Yeah.
And ask him what's...
That'd probably be good. Just trying to figure it out. So, because it said... Somebody said... I didn't know it was this location, but... Everpeak Hospitality, right?
I'm new here, okay. So I don't really know what's...
Gotcha.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I'll just call him. Ask
yeah,
him
that's,
see what's
that's one of the pretty good ideas.
Just
to be clear, like I'm not trying to cause any problems. It's just
right,
like
no,
it's
yeah,
10,
yeah.
11 o'clock now.
Right,
so,
yeah. You know, I get it, yeah. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so nobody's answering my calls right now.
Okay.
Because of the time. But
gotcha. Okay, so this is Everpeak though, and they said Everpeak Hospitality has moved swiftly to address this matter as it was inconsistent with our policy of being a welcoming place for all. We are in touch with the impacted guests to ensure they are accommodated. We don't discriminate against any individuals or agencies and apologize to those impacted. It's kind of long. I don't know.
I'll step in on this because obviously Everpeak not being very you know, not being very welcoming of our DHS agents. Joining me now to discuss is Nick Sorter. He's had quite the eventful couple of days, and he's with us now to break down the very latest on the ground in Minnesota. And boy, Nick, you know, you're giving both the governor a tough time, obviously, just by simply going to his home and asking some questions, as well as his hotel that apparently refused to provide housing and a bed for our DHS agents who were just simply looking to... get a good night rest. All of a sudden now Hilton coming out and just completely disassociating themselves with this hotel based on your report, because although they told the actual corporation they were good to go, it doesn't seem to be that way. What else are you learning?
Well, I mean, it was just, I had this gut feeling, right? Yeah. So this hotel is about a half hour away from, well, I won't say exactly which city I'm in right now, but about a half hour away from where I am. So I went ahead and drove down there. Just had this hunch that these people, you know, that you still weren't going to be able to get hotel rooms as an ICE agent down there. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to wear my Border Patrol hat. I did not identify myself as a federal law enforcement officer or anything. All I did was I wore my hat in there and I asked for 10 rooms. And asked for the government rate. And at that point, that's all that needed to be said for them to be like worried that, oh my God, ICE is showing back up again. And that's pretty much the reaction that you saw here, that they, this was about 11 o'clock last night. And it was 8 hours earlier in the day when they released the statement saying, oh, we're sorry, kumbaya, you know, whatever. And I just wasn't buying it. The statement just, it sounded so disingenuous. So I just went ahead and tried it myself. I was fairly surprised that nobody else tried it, to be honest with you. Like, nobody actually went there and asked the question. They just, I don't know, tweeted about it. And I had Bill Ackman, I know who's a large shareholder in Hilton. You know, he was all over X yesterday defending them. And saying, oh, it's all under control now. Everything is good. You know, nothing to see here. And then when you have people, especially higher profile people, trying to brush it out of the way so quickly, it just didn't seem like the issue was actually solved. And that's clearly the case. And I haven't been to sleep yet. So I'm sorry about that.
But Nick, I lied to our audience. I said, you know, he might wake up in time for this hit. So I told everyone that you slept. I tried to, but I saw you were still on Twitter and you were still posting. So it's a big story. So I understand. And it's catching the attention of DHS as well.
How could you not? It took less than an hour for Hilton to fully step in and revoke the license of the franchisee down there. So at some point, I'm going to have to head back down there and figure out, you know, is it open now? Like, what's going on? What does that mean? So they revoke the license. Is the place closed now?
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Yeah, no, I'm curious what that means. And I'm sure I'm not going to ask you where you're staying, but I'm just going to say probably not staying at a Hilton right now, given the fact that they're not very friendly with that hat on as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But okay, Nick, so it's not just the Hilton that you're getting on the bad side of these days. You're also getting the bad side of Tim Walz. And you just simply ask good questions and they don't seem to like that. You know, I've seen the videos of you outside of his home and, you know, you got questions. Obviously, this fraud story blew up overnight in regards to Nick Shirley's reporting, and it's resulted in him announcing yesterday that he's not going to be running for re-election, which obviously was pretty obvious to anyone who was paying attention to the news cycle. He wasn't going to be able to get over this hurdle. But he's blaming a lot of people for what's unraveled in his state. And it's not the Somalians, though. Listen in to clip 14.
We've got conspiracy theorist right-wing YouTubers breaking into our daycares, demanding access to our children. We've got the President of the United States demonizing our Somali neighbors and wrongfully confiscating funds that Minnesotans rely on. It's disgusting and it's dangerous.
Those damn YouTubers and conspiracy theorists, they're really giving Minnesota a bad name. Not the Somalians who have allegedly committed fraud. Nick, your reaction to the governor's comments?
Well, I mean, obviously it was the us right-wing YouTubers or whatever that broke in and are stealing all of the patient or the client records from these daycare centers. You know, it's a real travesty. No money or anything being stolen, nothing of actual value, but plenty of records being stolen, apparently. I don't understand. Like, why would you make the people? It really tells you a lot. Let me just say it this way. It tells you a lot when you're not attacking the people committing the fraud, you're attacking the people unveiling the fraud. And so what that should tell pretty much everybody is that Tim Walz is much more involved in this than anybody probably ever thought he was before. And now he's hoping to take some heat off of him by dropping out of the election. He thinks that maybe he won't be prosecuted and that maybe he'll be able to get Amy Klobuchar and like switch places with her because she'll end up becoming the governor and then she'll have to resign her Senate seat and then she can just appoint him to the Senate seat. So he doesn't even have to win the election until the next election comes up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he might just be placed in the Senate because this guy can't win. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Nick, I think it's interesting because, you know, when we were going through the old files, the old prosecutions that have done in, that have been done, and that doesn't even make any sense, that have carried out in Minnesota, we see that there was allegations that individuals who were being prosecuted, Somalians, were also accused of bringing bags of money to the jurors' homes. I believe it's $125,000 in cash and trying to bribe them. So I'm assuming, given the fact there's about 6 million people that live in this state, about 100,000 Somalians, and then we saw all of these politicians just...
It's got to be more.
Exactly.
It's got to be more. It's not 100,000. I know that's the official number, but so I sent Matt a clip. I don't know if he can load that up, and because it's going to be, it's another video. It's a long form video. The first time that I've ever done a long form video, and it just shows what it's like going around. Just going to Walmart out here is an experience like no other. Because it feels like a Walmart, not a foreign. You can't talk to the Walmart employees, Brianna. It's crazy. And they get mad if you talk to them. You know, I tried to shake hands with one of them and she got super offended because you're not allowed to touch women in Somalia. And I forgot about that part. You know, it's just, it's an odd place.
Trust me, I understand. And I'll talk about something else later that I had to deal with over the weekend. But we have the video. Let's roll that right now.
What do you think would happen if I were to go and visit Tim Walz? Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Have a good. Oh, can't say. Got it. She can't touch me because she's a woman. Oh my God.
11 close. 11. Only 11.
Okay. I was just asking. Okay.
The info that I got was that you guys were setting up a tent. Not setting it.
We have a giant pickle for him.
Yeah. In my tent that's going outside of Walt's house. That's exactly what we're doing.
That's bad. Okay. That's just like a little sample of it all. But this is really bad.
The hook in the game.
Yeah. Well, I like it. It's a good hook. I mean, the reality of it is they're working at Walmart. Well, at least they're working. We could say that. That's cool. That's nice of them to be so kind to us and earn their money. But, you know, it makes for a really toxic culture when they sit here and they're not looking to coexist. They're looking to capture. And, you know, we've played the videos on this show of their leaders, their community leaders going out there and saying that they've conquered certain parts of the state. And, you know, you don't use that word conquer unless you actually mean it. It's not something that rolls off the tongue unless you are trying to claim dominance over the area. So, yeah, this all kind of makes sense, Nick. What more can we expect from that video? Because I'm sure you got more dropping soon.
Well, I mean, so one of the reasons that I ended up staying here, I was going to leave, okay? I was going to leave on, I believe, Sunday. Uh-huh. But the Waltz residents kept calling the police on me. So I'm like, okay, you know, F all of you people. I am now staying here. And I did. And I hung out outside the house, you know, waiting for him to announce that he wasn't going to be running for, because we pretty much knew the night before that he was going to make that announcement. I mean, it was that bad. The guy was just, there was no way for him to get back up after this entire situation. Honestly, he didn't really have a good chance to begin with. Yeah. And this was just the death knell for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we look forward to keeping our eye on all things Minnesota because I think it's going to get worse. Oh, and by the way, you know, we heard from President Trump earlier today announced that California is next on the list, that they're actually going to begin an investigation into them. What's your reaction to that? Because that's obviously a big one. All they have to do is start off with like the homeless funds that have magically dissipated. And there's no numbers that prove that the billions of dollars that have poured into for that have actually done anything successful for the state of Minnesota or California.
Yeah, and I mean, like President Trump keeps saying, the numbers out in California make this look like peanuts out here, right? And they've gotten away with it for so long. All you have to do is keep looking at that viaduct, the bridge, the one bridge that they have built for $20 billion in that high-speed rail project that President Trump, thank God, finally pulled the plug on. No more federal funding for that. Which is a thing that really pisses off Gavin Newsom. But start there. The fact that, I mean, tens of billions of dollars spent and almost nothing at all to show for it, that should be a fairly easy one. And these people, because they've gotten away with it for so long, they get sloppy, right? Mm-hmm. They can just start pulling more money from here, skim more off the top here. If there is an actual, you know, federal investigation, where they're digging deep, I'm sure that the amount of fraud out there is absolutely staggering. Mm-hmm. And in places like San Francisco with those homeless programs and stuff out there, because the more money they give to these homeless programs, the worse the homeless population gets. So where does it go?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an individual on the ground in Portland. We have him on the show quite often, and he goes around asking homeless people if they've received any outreach, and the answer is constantly no. And they're spending, I think, north of $500 million a year to try to alleviate homelessness in their city. And obviously, the spending keeps ballooning, and the numbers, though, the people who are supposed to be helped with these funds, it's just not going there. So it's no surprise. This would be a good area for the president to crunch down on as well. Nick Sorter doing incredible work on the ground. Greatly appreciate your time as always. So thank you for joining us. And you do a great job, too, here on InfoWars every Sunday. You host the show, so make sure everyone tunes in for that. Nick, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Get some sleep, Nick. Get some sleep. I'll stop.
I'm going to take a coma right now. That's what I'm hitting the leave button and I'm going to bed.
Put your phone on do not disturb. So we all leave you alone for now. Nick, thank you. We appreciate your time as always. All right, folks, we got more to discuss. We got more to dive into. Let's just bring it back to Venezuela. Why not? Why not? I got more under my scope that I've been looking into in regards to Venezuela. Again, like I'm trying to be a little reserved and not take a strong take on this one, because I think there's a lot that we don't know in regards to Venezuela. But I could sit there and say that I am proud of our military for the job that they did, because they were able to execute it without losing anyone. And I think that is absolutely amazing. In clip 16, we're going to play this for you in a second. The Department of War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, well, he outlined what it was like for those a part of the Delta Force to make way into Maduro's safe home, and what it was like when they finally confronted both Maduro and his wife. Take a listen.
Nicolas Maduro got to meet some great Americans wearing night vision goggles 3 nights ago. He didn't know they were coming until 3 minutes before they arrived. In fact, his wife said, "I think I hear aircraft outside." They didn't know. You know why? Because every single part of that chain did their job. And they did it flawlessly.
They did it flawlessly. Folks, he's got that all right, all good. I have to say, they did do it flawlessly. I'm just still, again, waiting for the numbers to figure out how many individuals were injured in all of this. But you have to be proud of our military for the job that they did. Regardless of how you feel about it, this definitely sets a tone for all of our adversaries to know that President Trump, he means good on the threats he makes. These aren't just empty threats. Remember when Joe Biden said to Russia, don't. And they did. And then nothing happened there. It was an absolute embarrassment of a regime. And I always say regime because they're not administration. And, you know, we all had to sit back and just in such embarrassment pretend like this was the individual leading the country. We all knew that it wasn't. It was a deep state operatives. Again, no one arrested in that as of yet. But Democrats really can't find a thing to be angry about when it comes to Venezuela. And again, Venezuelans are not upset with the United States. They're not. They tried doing this themselves, and they were mowed over by military tanks. That was roughly, what, 6-7 years ago? So again, this is a big issue. This is a massive, massive issue. And it's very complex. And we dove into it yesterday, the you know, obviously Russia-China angle to all of this. That's something that is likely the biggest motivator behind what you saw unravel. And I've been telling you since day one, I don't think it's the fentanyl. It didn't make sense because they don't even account for like 10% of the fentanyl is brought into this country. Although 1% is too high, it still didn't make sense for why the president was so hyper-focused on Venezuela. And obviously the port was something that was obviously a high priority. But there's a lot of elements to this. The natural resources, the oil, I get that. Yes, I don't think that was out of their minds when they were thinking about what to do next. But members of Congress, Democrats, are really pushing for a reason to be angry. And in clip 17, you're going to hear from Speaker Johnson, because he is debunking those Dems who are going on cable news shows trying to pretend like the President of the United States has to ask for permission to execute an arrest warrant in a foreign country. Take a listen.
We are not at war. We do not have U.S. armed forces in Venezuela, and we are not occupying that country. The Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war, that is true. But it also vests the President of the United States with vast authorities as Commander-in-Chief. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, the President has the authority, as all presidents do, to deploy military forces to address threats to the U.S. and to enforce U.S. law. That is what happened here. The War Powers Act states that notification should be made to Congress within 48 hours following the initiation of hostilities. As we've noted, and I've made many public comments, that happened almost instantaneously here. My first call was at 4 a.m. by Secretary of State Rubio. Despite the claims by some of my colleagues, under the War Powers Act, there is no requirement for prior congressional approval or prior notification. And in fact, in this case, the intelligence was so sensitive, the conditions had to be perfect, there was no predetermination of when exactly it would occur. And if there had been prior notice, even assembling the Gang of Eight, for example, during a December holiday, it would have set off alerts and very likely might have been a leaked situation, which could have caused great damage to our forces, our troops there.
All right. I don't think he has to really explain. We know that if he would have put them on alert, Democrats would have ratted them out, would have put U.S. service members at risk. And again, I'm not trying to side and say I agree with one side over the other. I'm still waiting for all the information to make its way to the surface before I come to an opinion on this front. But I'm going to tell you that you cannot trust Democrats if you're going to do something like this. You can't tell them. Can't tell them. Because they want to see the Trump administration fail. And they will do just that. By the way, folks, imagine if the service members who were all involved in Venezuela that day, imagine if one of them listened to Mark Kelly and said, well, what about international law, and decided to just completely abandon the orders that were given to them by the President of the United States. Again, that was Democrats. That was their attempt to derail anything that might happen in the future. So you can't trust them. They tried their very best. They laid out the groundwork to go about doing just that. And if Mark Kelly would have carried through on that, which we all know, and again, we beat Fox to it yesterday on this show. This is why you guys watch us. As well, Fox is claiming that they exclusively obtained the information regarding Mark Kelly's penalties from the Pentagon. They're lying. Your girl got it first, and we broke it for you on this show. But again, we're going to keep drilling this point home, and the facts are that you can't trust Democrats, regardless of what it is. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. The president in his first term had a leaking issue, and now, miraculously, in the second term, we're not seeing any leaks in regards to Iran. The strikes, none of us knew about that. And we also didn't see any leaks regarding Venezuela. You think that's coincidental? Or you think he just cut out all the trash? Yeah, probably that. Probably that. All right, folks, we're getting ready to head into the third hour of the show. And again, this one is going to be exclusive. You won't see anywhere else. I see Senator Rand Paul's office just dropped the documents. But if you follow me on X, you got it first. We just got our hands on documents that were handed over by the FBI, TSA, DOJ. All of these documents were shifted over to Senator Rand Paul's office. And ultimately, they're just trying to figure out how one woman who didn't even go into the Capitol, how she ended up on a terror watch list. Now, the crazy part about this is she found out she was on the terror watch list because her husband, get this, her husband is a U.S. Air Marshal. So one day he's at work and he gets a fax. And he looks over because it's about a domestic terrorist who's been added to the list. And to his shock, it was his wife, who didn't go anywhere near the Capitol on January 6th, but she did watch President Trump speak. But that's all she needed was just that, and they quickly threw her on the terror watch list. Now, it's much more extensive than that, because it has to do with a friend at the time, former friend, who called the FBI, put her on their radar through a tip. Now, that friend is deceased now. She sadly took her own life. But that friend wrongfully ID'd the woman we have coming on the show in just a moment. Christine Crowder will be joining us in studio to dive into these documents with us, because this is the first time I've seen anything like this. Again, I had to sue TSA, didn't get it because they claim national security. But we've got documents now showing us how this all went about, how this all happened behind the scenes. And we'll bring it to you in just a few moments. It's the fifth anniversary of J6. So we got a lot more to dive into. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have an incredible sale happening right now, 47% off site-wide. Patriot Day sale over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults. strength and power. People with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
I'm